Amen. All right, well, we're there in Romans chapter number 8. And of course, today when I was thinking about the events today and the service tonight, you know, I was thinking about the fact that it's 4th of July, it's Independence Day, and we're all kind of having this theme about liberty and celebrating our liberty and our freedom. And it, you know, got me thinking about the fact that in the New Testament, there is a doctrine that you may or may not be aware of, but it's commonly referred to as a doctrine of Christian liberty. And we find this concept of Christian liberty throughout the New Testament, but there's a lot of confusion in regards to this doctrine. There's a lot of misconceptions, misbeliefs, things that people don't understand about the doctrine of Christian liberty. So I wanted to preach tonight on the subject of clearing up the confusion about Christian liberty. And that's the title of the sermon, Clearing Up the Confusion About Christian Liberty. And I want you to notice, and let me just kind of give you a quick synopsis of the doctrine of Christian liberty in case you're not aware. If you notice there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 21, the Bible says this, because the creature, now if you notice that word creature there, when we think of the word creature, we think of like an animal or some sort of like monster or beast. But the way that the word creature is being used there in Romans 8, it's a synonym of the word creation. It's just talking about those of us. A creature is someone or something that has been created. So this includes all of us because we are creations of God. We did not just evolve. We did not just, you know, show up here in a big bang. But God created us. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered. And if you notice those words, shall be delivered, those words are also synonymously translated through our King James Bible as made free or to become free. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered. Notice what it says, from the bondage of corruption. And then he goes on and talks about into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So I want you to notice, and this is what the Bible teaches, that as unbelievers, so before you were saved, for those of you that are saved, if you're here tonight and you say, hey, I know I'm saved, I know I'm on my way to heaven, if I died today, I know that I would go to heaven. And here's the thing, this is something you can know. The Bible tells us, these things have I written unto you, talking about the Word of God. It says that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. So what we know is that those of us that are either, or those of you that are not saved, or those of us who are saved, before we were saved, we were all in bondage to sin. We were in bondage of corruption. We were servants of sin, is what the Bible says. But after salvation, we were made free from that bondage. You're there in Romans 8, look at verse 2. Notice what it says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So I want you to notice here that you have two different laws here. And it says that there is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And he says, that law made me free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because we were under the law of sin. We were under the bondage of sin. We were under the condemnation of sin, but then the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from that law. Notice verse 21 again. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, notice, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So the doctrine of Christian liberty is this, that when you weren't saved, or if you're not saved, you are in bondage to sin, and then at salvation you are made free from the bondage of sin. Now that may sound simple, that may sound easy to understand, but what I want to show you tonight is that there are two major extremes which both abuse this teaching of Christian liberty. And as you study the New Testament, you'll find that the Apostle Paul is constantly fighting two different extremes that both are an abuse or a misuse of the doctrine of Christian liberty. Now you're there in Romans, go with me to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 2. If you're in Romans, you're going to go 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and then the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Am I speaking loud enough? Can you hear me in the back? All right, good. Galatians chapter 2, And let me show you the first extreme, because there are two extremes, and they're really both false doctrines fall on either side of the extreme, and both extremes are wrong. The first extreme is this, that the doctrine of Christian liberty is abused or misused by attempting to keep the law as part of salvation. So those who teach that you must keep the law in order to be saved are misusing and abusing the doctrine of Christian liberty. The Apostle Paul talked about this. Notice Galatians 2, look at verse 3. Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 3. He's talking about the fact that himself and Barnabas and Titus, they went to Jerusalem, and they're going to confront these false brethren. Notice verse 3. He says, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." So notice that Titus was a Gentile believer, and he was a Greek. And because of that, he had not been circumcised. Now, circumcision is part of the Levitical law that is taught in the Old Testament to keep the Levitical law. And there were those who were trying to compel Titus to keep the law and to be circumcised. And notice Paul said, hey, Titus, who was with me being a Greek, was he said, neither Titus. He says he was not compelled to be circumcised, verse 4, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, notice, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us, notice what he says, that they might bring us into bondage. So I want you to notice what he says. He says, there were false brethren who came into the church, and they were trying to get people, and here specifically Titus, to get circumcised, to follow the Old Testament law. And then Paul says, these people were had come in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. And he said they were attempting to bring us into bondage. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 2. You say, well, what's the problem with that? And today, maybe you're here tonight and you would think, well, I thought that was part of the whole Christian thing, right? Because most religions today will teach you that if you want to go to heaven when you die, you have to keep the law. And it doesn't matter what religion it is. They all have their version of the law. But they're going to tell you that you have to repent of your sins, which means turn away from your sins in order to be saved. Or they're going to tell you, you have to turn over a new leaf. They're going to tell you, you have to get baptized. They're going to tell you, you have to go to the confessional booth. They're going to tell you, you have to do communion. They're going to tell you all sorts of things that you have to do. But all of them are going to try to, all false religions are going to try to keep you to keep the law as part of salvation. You say, well, what's wrong with that? What's the problem with that teaching or extreme? Galatians 5, look at verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you. Because remember, the example he's given us in Galatia is that these people really wanted all these Gentile, thank you, all these Gentile believers to get circumcised. And he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now I want you to notice, that's a very interesting statement. He says, look, if you get circumcised as part of your salvation, he says, Christ shall profit you nothing. You say, why is that? Look at verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. See, here's the problem with adding the law to salvation, that when you decide to add the law to salvation, you become a debtor to keep the whole law. You have to do all of it. You can't just pick and choose and say, well, I'll do this, but I won't do that, or I like this part, but I don't like that part. He says, look, if you decide to keep the law for salvation, the problem with that is that you become a debtor to keep the whole law. And the problem with that is that you can't. You can't keep the whole law. You can't live a good enough life. Notice verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. And then notice these words, ye are fallen from grace. Amen. Now today, that's a common term that's used. And people will say, oh, And they usually mean like, if somebody stops liking you, they fell from grace. If somebody stops, if you stop having favor with your boss, oh, I've fallen from grace. But I want you to notice that the phrase in its context is this: when I decide to keep the law to be saved, I've fallen from grace. You say, why is that? Because grace is unmerited favor. Grace is, I get something, I don't earn it, I don't deserve it, it's free. Keeping the law is the exact opposite. It's works. It's earning it. It's trying to get to heaven based on my own merit. And here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, well, it's faith in Christ and keeping the law. There go my notes. Or it's, thank you. Today, false religions will say, they'll say, oh, because we'll talk to them, right? And we'll say, hey, you're believing in a work salvation. And they'll say, no. We believe in faith and works, right? And they'll misquote James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. And that's a misquote. They're misapplying that passage. But here's what Paul is teaching. Paul is teaching, as soon as you decide to add the law to salvation, he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. He says, Christ can't help you. He says, look, either Jesus pays for your salvation completely, or if you want to add law to salvation, he says, that's fine, but you're going to have to keep the whole law. Notice Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Notice what he says. Galatians 3:10 says this: for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. He says, look, you want to keep the law? That's fine, but you're going to be under a curse. You say, why? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law, notice, to do them. Here's what he says. He says, if you put yourself under the law, you're actually under a curse, because the curse is this: if you think you're going to keep the law to get you to heaven, you got to continue in all things. You have to do all of it. You've got to keep every commandment. You've got to do everything. So look, if you're here tonight and you say, well, I think it's faith and works, that doesn't exist in the New Testament. It's either faith or it's works. But you can't say, well, it's faith and I'm going to keep some of the law. Hey, Paul would say that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. So one extreme of misusing Christian liberty is to attempt to keep the law as part of salvation. And you say, well, I don't understand. If I don't have to keep the law in order to be saved, then how do I get saved? Well, notice you're there in Galatians. Look at chapter 2 and verse 16. Notice what Paul says in Galatians 2:16. Now, Galatians 2:16 is kind of a wordy verse, but I think it's a very clear verse in regards to salvation. Galatians 2:16 says this: knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. He says, look, a man is not justified by the works of law. You say, well, how is a man justified? But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we believe in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I mean, could it be more clear than that? He's saying, it's not by the works of the law, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. Look, salvation is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Salvation is not, I believe and I go to church, I believe and I get baptized, I believe and I quit drinking, I believe and I quit smoking, I believe and I quit my drug use. Now look, all those things are good. We want you to do those things. But in order to get saved, it's believe, period. You just believe on Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. You call upon Him in faith for salvation. And you say, well, I want to do good works. Here's the problem with that. As soon as you add works, you put yourself under a curse and you become a debtor to keep the whole law. And you can't do that. And I can't do that. So there's an abuse of the Christian liberty doctrine. One extreme is to put you in bondage in an attempt to force you to keep the law. But then there's another abuse on the other extreme. And what is that? Well, notice, keep your place there in Galatians. We're going to come back to it. But go to Jude verse 4. Now, there's one chapter in the book of Jude. It's right before the book of Revelation. Jude, verse 4. And we're talking about the abuses of the doctrine of the Christian liberty. One abuse, one extreme, is attempting to keep you under the law or make you to obey the law. You say, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that you can't just keep part of the law. You have to keep the whole thing. You have to do all of it. If you're going to work your way to heaven, it's not works plus Jesus. It's just works or it's Jesus. Here's the other extreme. The other extreme in the Christian liberty abuse is the teaching that forgets the law altogether and teaches people to live in sin. See, today there are people who teach what's referred to as hyper grace, which is this teaching, and it sounds good on the outside. When you just listen to it, it sounds right, because they'll say, "Hey, it's all of grace. It's just grace, and you know, we're not under the law. We're under grace. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to do anything." Now, look, it's true that you don't have to keep the law in order to be saved. It's a false statement to say you don't have to keep the law. Now, if you're saying you don't have to keep the law to be saved, that's a true statement. If you're saying you don't have to keep the law, that's a false statement. And today you've got the hyper grace, you know, the skinny pant wearing, effeminate looking preachers today. They've got this hyper grace teaching that teaches you to just forget the law altogether. Because they don't want to go on the extreme of bringing you under bondage. So they'll say, you don't need the law at all. You don't need the commandments at all. You're under grace and you can just live in sin. And the Bible talked about this. Notice Jude 1 and verse 4. Notice what the Bible says. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. So notice, are these good guys or bad guys? They're ungodly men. They were before of old ordained to this condemnation. These are reprobates. Notice, you say, what do? Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now that word lasciviousness, it's an older word that's not used a lot today. But here's a synonym for the word lasciviousness. It's lust. It's desire. It's also, here's another synonym, wantonness, which means unrestrained. And here's what he's saying. He's saying today, you also have the hyper grace guys who say, you don't need the law at all. It's all grace. It's all about grace. And here's what they're doing. They're turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're teaching you that because you're saved by grace, then you can just live in lust. You can just live in whatever desire of the flesh you want. You can just live an unrestrained life. You can just live however you want. Notice, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So you say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with just fulfilling every lust and desire of the flesh? Go back to Galatians 4, look at verse 8. Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 8. Notice what the Apostle Paul said about that. Galatians 4:8 says this: Howbeit then, when ye knew not God. So this is before salvation. He said, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Now he's referring to that old, what we talked about at the beginning. That's, you were in bondage to sin. You were in bondage to other gods that are not gods. Notice verse 9. He says, but now, because he's talking to people that are saved. He says, but now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. Remember Matthew chapter 7? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. People are going to stand up and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? And in thy name do many wonderful works? And he's going to say, hey, depart from me, I never knew you. Why? Because salvation is not what you do, it's who you know, or better said, who knows you? Right. Notice what he says. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Here's what he's saying. Before you were saved, you were in bondage to sin. after salvation, if you choose to submit yourself to sin, if you choose to live a life of lasciviousness, he says, you're living in bondage. And he says, it's by your own desire. It's by your own doing. Go to Galatians 5, look at verse 1. Notice what he says. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians 5, 1 says this, stand fast, therefore. And I don't have time to go through the context, but if you read Galatians 4, he talks about the fact that there were children of freedom and promise, children of bondage. He explains that whole allegory. And then in Galatians 5, 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You say, well, what does that mean? Look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Notice what he says. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He says, don't use liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Don't sit there and say, well, we're saved by grace. It's not of works. There's nothing I can do to lose my salvation, so therefore I can just live however I want. He says, no, you're bringing yourself back into bondage. And here's what's interesting. It's the exact opposite teaching of what the false preachers are saying today. Today the false preachers say, you're not under the law, you're free, so do whatever you want. Paul says, hey, you're free, so don't put yourself in bondage to sin. You've been delivered from sin. You've been made free from sin. You've been set free from sin. Why would you put yourself back in bondage? He says, you're using your liberty as an occasion to the flesh. See, here's the reality of Christian liberty. Is that Christian liberty is the freedom. Listen to this. We're almost done. Christian liberty, we're talking about the doctrine of Christian liberty. Here's the doctrine of Christian liberty in a nutshell. It is the freedom to choose to follow the law out of love when you don't have to. Galatians 5 and verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. Galatians 5, 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. He says, look, he says, I'm not trying to get you to not fulfill the law. He said, I'm trying to get you to have the right motivation for fulfilling the law. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, Jesus taught that if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and you love the neighbor as yourself, he says, the law and the prophets hang on these things. He says, look, if I love God with all my heart, and then I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to keep the law. But I'm not going to keep the law because I'm afraid, because there's fear. I'm not going to not kill you because I don't want to go to prison. I'm going to not kill you because I love you. You understand that? I'm not going to not steal from you because I'm afraid that someone's going to lock me up. I'm just going to not steal from you because I love you. I'm not going to not lie to you because I'm afraid there's going to be some consequence. I'm just going to not lie to you out of love. Here's what he's saying. Here's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. You say, oh, Christian liberty means that we can live just in sin. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Christian liberty is that I keep the law out of love even when I don't have to. Because the true motivation for walking in the Spirit is love for God and others. The best motivation for keeping the law is simply loving God and loving others. And here's what you need to understand about liberty. And this applies to Christian liberty. This applies to American liberty. This applies to the concept of liberty in general. And it is this, that liberty is not the freedom to do as you want. It is the freedom to do as you ought. You say, I've been given freedom. I'm an American, bless God. I've got freedom, so I can do whatever I want. Here's the funny thing about that. You go and do whatever you want, and you know what you'll lose is your freedom. Go do whatever you want. See how long that lasts before they lock you up, before somebody kills you, before somebody, you know. Because here's the thing. Freedom is not the freedom to do what you want. It is the freedom to do what you ought. And whether it's American liberty, whether it's in the United States, in this country, with these laws, or whether it's the law of God, freedom and liberty is not the freedom to do what I want. It is the freedom to do what I should do out of a love for God. Amen. So we see that when we talk about Christian liberty, there's these two extremes. One is the extreme that says, you must keep the law, you must keep the law, you must keep the law in order to go to heaven. Here's the problem with that. You can't keep the law, and as soon as you decide to add one bit of the law to your salvation, you make yourself a debtor to keep the whole law. You put yourself under a curse because no one can do it. Because you can't keep the whole law. But then the other extreme is that we turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and we live worldly lives and we live sinful lives. You say, what's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with that. You lose your liberty. You lose the liberty you have with those around you. You use the liberty. You say, well, what is Christian liberty? Christian liberty is knowing that I don't have to keep the law, but I choose to keep the law out of love for God. And here's what's funny. Here's what's funny. People who understand that, we have a church filled with people who go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They show up at a stinking park for church. And you walk around and say, hey, are you here because you're trying to earn your way to heaven? And they'll say, no, none of this will earn my way to heaven. My way to heaven has been paid through Jesus Christ. Then you talk to Catholics, and it's like, hey, what do you have to do to go to heaven? Well, you got to go to church. When's the last time you went to church? Christmas? Here's what's funny. You will keep the law better when you do it out of love and out of fear. You will be a better law keeper when your motivation's right. When you say, I don't have to keep the law. Salvation is free. It's the grace of God. I call upon Jesus by faith and He saves me. But I do it out of love. He says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And let me just finish by saying this. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I don't know. If I died right now, I'm just not really sure if I would go to heaven or hell. I'm not sure. Please let me tell you, the Bible says you can know. The Bible says you can leave here tonight and be 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. It has nothing to do with what religion you are. It has nothing to do with what good of a person you are. It has nothing to do with anything you do or don't do or need to start doing or need to stop doing. It's all faith in Jesus Christ. And we would love to take our Bible and show you tonight. If you've got questions, we'd love to show you how you can know for sure. So look, it's Independence Day. How about getting independent from the bondage and condemnation of sin? Amen. You say, how can I do that? Well, you know, we've got all sorts of people around here that can help you. But let me just point a few people out. If you're here tonight and you're a male and you say, I don't know, I'd like to talk to somebody, I'm going to volunteer one of our staff guys, Brother Oliver. He'd be happy to sit down and talk with you. Brother Oliver, can you raise your hand so people can kind of know? That Brother Oliver's in the back, he's raising hand. You say, I'm a guy here tonight. I don't know for sure if I died, if I'm on my way to heaven. Please see Brother Oliver. Please see myself after the service. We'd love to sit down and show you from the Bible. I can know for sure. If you're a lady here tonight, you say, Brother Oliver's kind of scary looking. I'd like to talk to a lady. Great. We've got ladies that can help you. Let me just point one out. My wife, I think my wife's over there somewhere. She's over there in the grass. She's got her hand up. But if you're a lady, you can talk to my wife. She can talk to you. She can connect you with another lady that can talk to you. We don't want you to leave here tonight having heard what you've heard, go on your merry way, and then die and go to hell because you were trusting your works, because you were trusting your false religion, because you were trusting unbelief. Look, it's Independence Day. It's a day where we celebrate liberty. How about getting liberty from the condemnation of sin and hell? And it has nothing to do with keeping the law. You say, well, once I'm saved, do I have to keep the law? Only if you love God. And only if you love others. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I realize that these concepts are easy, and yet preaching in a context like this can be distracting. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this doctrine of Christian liberty and to be careful not to go on either extreme. the extreme that says you must keep the law in order to be saved, but also the extreme that says you don't need the law at all and just live a life of lasciviousness. Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand what the Bible teaches, to have the right balance. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people who understand that salvation is not by keeping the law. But once I'm saved, if I love the Lord and I love my brother, I will keep the law out of love for them. Jesus, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the Christian liberty that's given to us through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the liberties and the freedoms we have, even in this country, to be able to assemble and preach and do the things we do. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.